Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. I'm your host, Tom Majure. This is the January preview. It's a view over the month of what is to come. We look at the newsletter, and then we have a few guests that are from the community that we'll be talking to. So stay tuned. My co-host is one of the friends of the ministry, Ron Price. Welcome back, Ron.
Tom, thank you. And it's good to be part of a large group, Friends of Strong Tower Radio. Good to be with you.
Absolutely. And that group keeps growing as we add radio stations. We've added approximately 10 radio stations in the last year. So we're great. Wow. We have many more friends. Our friends become larger and more. We'll continue that till we get to heaven.
Amen. I like it.
Now, our guest today, we start off, is with he's the author of our ministry news. That's our monthly newsletter where we go into more depth. We talk about testimonies. We share different things that are happening in the ministry, and we like to have a theme for each month. In fact, we've had a theme for a whole year. That is 1 Corinthians 13. And Ron, you and John have been collaborating and finding authors for each one of the months throughout this year. Why don't we pause for a moment? And I'll introduce Pastor Stamen. Pastor Roy Stamen is a retired pastor. He was here in the Michigan area for many, many years, and he is now retired in Tennessee, enjoying Strong Tower Radio via streaming and by the cell phone app. So welcome back, Pastor Royce.
Great to be back. I'm so excited for Strong Tower Radio and glad to be able to be a part of this conversation today.
Absolutely. Would you lead us with a word of prayer?
Be happy to. Father in heaven, as we get together today and talk a little bit about what wonderful gift we've gotten in the love of Jesus Christ, we pray that you will bless this conversation and that we will not only share together but learn together as we continue to seek to understand the love of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Ron, would you lead us in the discussion of our lead article for the January of 2026 article?
I'll do that very thing, but I want to correct something first, maybe not correct. Pastor Royce, pronounce your last name for us, please.
Well, it's spelled S-N-Y-M-A-N, and you say it Snayman instead of what it looks like, which looks like Snyman.
Yeah, thank you. That's why I asked. I only saw the spelling. I hadn't heard it pronounced before, so I'm sure you get comments on that.
All the time. It's very common in South Africa.
Is it? Okay. All right. Yeah, I always get Ronald McDonald or The Price is Right. So, you get certain names bring about certain repeat comments. But again, as Tom mentioned, we've gone through 1 Corinthians 13 this year with a lot of help from John. He and I have partnered together to bring in various authors of the monthly going a verse at a time. And I think we might have saved the best for last. Elder, you got 12 and 13, but you focused on 13, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Before I get into the article itself, what made you focus on that verse?
Well, my feeling is that it really is a summation of all that Paul has been saying up to this point, including chapter 13. And he's placing an emphasis there on a summary that goes from the beginning of our relationship with Jesus in faith until it goes to its full completion in love that Jesus plants in our heart. That is my reason for focusing on those passages or that passage.
Yeah, and it's a work of a lifetime. I don't know that we'll ever match the love that Christ had, but It's worth pursuing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I like what you did. You went back and you read all the prior articles, I believe. Is that not correct? Before you decided to write your own, you did some research.
I did. I went back to see what everybody else said. I didn't want to say everything that already been said, but I also found that I was blessed and even quoted some of them because it helped to summarize where we have come in this journey over the year.
Yeah, and I'll leave people to read what you quoted in your article, Karen DeMond Gardner. I appreciated her column as well. I appreciate that. You focused on an interesting story from the Coast Guard entitled The Long Blue Line, Earl Cunningham's story. Would you mind sharing that story a little bit? I think it's a great example of somebody be willing to say, you know what, my life is important, but others' lives are even more important. That's what Christ would have us do.
Well, I happen to be a fan of your story hour. I'm very often found on Strong Tower Radio.
Yeah.
And there was one particular story that caught my attention. Little did I realize that it was really set in Michigan itself. And it happened to be the story from 1936 of Earl Cunningham and the life that he gave in order those others might be able to be saved in a difficult situation. It took place in Charlevoix, Michigan. He was at the Coast Guard station there, and it was his responsibility to watch for trouble out in the water. In those days, 1936, there weren't a lot of motorized boats out there and not a lot of vehicles and that kind of thing. And today we might find people out there on the ice, even in cars, but in this particular case, there were some fishermen, five of them out on an ice floe. And he spotted them out there, and he was concerned about them, especially when a storm came up. And to make a long story short, as that wind began to blow, the ice was split off and became a separated floe that was pushing farther and farther out into the lake. And he immediately sounded the alarm, and there was a Coast Guardsman who went out there to try to rescue them. And actually was successful in getting three of them, but the little skiff that he was in was not able to carry all of them back. And so when that Coast Guardsman got back, he was exhausted, and Cunningham said, "You're not going back out there." He said, "I'll go back out there." They tried to stop him from going, but he said, "I have to go out there." He had children of his own and family and all, but he knew that he had to do something. And he went out there and attempted to try to rescue them. He managed to get to them, but the wind continued to blow. It was a winter storm, and it was driving them further and further away from land. And eventually, even though they were in the boat, they weren't able to get back, and he knew they couldn't get back. And he tried to save them all. He tried his very best to do that. But unfortunately, he and one other perished in that storm trying to get back. One of the individuals, though, was able to get back walking on the ice. And Clayton Brown was his name. He would eventually lose both feet to frostbite, but he was able to return to his family. And Cunningham, if he had not gone out there, Clayton Brown would never have been able to return.
And Mr. Cunningham didn't return himself, did he?
He did not survive. As a matter of fact, they found him about a couple days later, still in his boat, trying to oar the boat back to shore. Unfortunately, he was frozen stiff and gave up his life in trying to rescue those. The other fellow did not survive either, which is tragic in itself, but one lived because he was willing to try.
Yeah. I'm reminded of Romans 5, starting in verse 6, when we are utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might be willing, perhaps, to die for a person who's especially good. But God shows his great love for us by sending Christ to die while we were still sinners. Elaborate on that verse for me, would you, for a moment, Pastor? What are you saying in your column, and what does that verse say to you?
Well, it says to me that when a Christian becomes a Christian, that means they're a follower of Christ. And there's no greater example than Jesus when it comes to the example of love. The truth of the matter is, we human beings, we find it difficult to be willing to sacrifice our lives, even for somebody who is kind and generous and is a loved one to us. In this particular case, Cunningham went after someone he didn't even know. And yep. Not only that, but Jesus went after people who actually trying to save them, and many of them turned their back on him and were even evil towards him, spoke evil of him and otherwise. And Jesus said, even though we human beings might do it for somebody who's good, he came no matter what, whether a person was deemed good or bad. He showed that true love is willing to sacrifice no matter what.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a pastor, but I do my share of lay preaching because our pastor has a couple of other churches to serve. And I preached this last week that Christianity really doesn't make earthly sense, does it? It doesn't make sense from an earthly perspective that you'd give up your life willingly for a total stranger. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's part of the gospel story. I think, Ron, you're so absolutely right. We really don't comprehend what it took for Jesus to come down from heaven to this earth.
Yep.
I know that if we really, really comprehended it, which we can't, and I believe we'll, when we are able to be in heaven together with Jesus, we'll continue to study this because nothing can explain it except right. love, and it's so difficult for us to truly understand what that love is.
Yeah. So here's a softball question for you, my friend. Can we create that love in ourselves on our own?
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Not a chance. It's only Jesus who can do that. And that's why I think Paul comes here, as well as Peter. I quoted Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, how he begins and talks about how the Christian life begins with faith. And then he speaks of faith, and he talks about how you add to your faith virtue, and then you add to virtue, and he keeps going on all the way until he comes and says, until we get to that love that Jesus alone can bring us to. And Paul is making the same point. He starts with faith again, and he ends with love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, as we've been reminded throughout the year, 1 Corinthians 13 is telling us that if there is no love, it doesn't matter how good our actions are and what we try to do, but love is the epitome of who Jesus is and what he did for us.
Yeah, yeah. I'm reminded, too, of the verse, I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. And now the life I do live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If we're really going to be not just a Christian in name only, but a Christ follower, we need to regard our life as not ours, but his. Do you agree with that?
Well, absolutely. Jesus knew no limits to his willingness to sacrifice for us.
Yeah. Yep.
And I like what Karen D'Armond Gardner, who's you quoted earlier, said, Paul's love, call to love, is not a passive one. It's active, intentional, and often costly. And that's what it was to Jesus. It cost him everything.
Yeah.
And it's active as well.
Yeah. And let me add to that. She goes on. I'm reading your article here. When lived out with wisdom, it becomes the most transformative way of life. So it's not something we should focus on, oh, I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to be more loving. No, I want to be so filled with Christ's love, with his Holy Spirit, that love is the byproduct. Is that a fair statement?
And that's exactly the driving point of what I was trying to share, Ron. Thanks for bringing that out. I'm really encouraging people, and as we go into 2026, which is, at this particular moment that we're recording is just days away from us. really encouraging people to focus their lives on Jesus and their relationship with him, because he is the source of love, and he is the one who is able to complete that love in us and make us truly loving Christians.
He's the author and finisher of our faith, isn't he?
He is, Hebrews chapter 12.
And oh, great silent Tom, you're sitting by so quietly. Thank you for that. But I think we're nearing the time, aren't we, to wrap this up?
Well, I just want to thank Pastor Royce for coming back and summarizing our year of in the book of 1 Corinthians 13.
Well, it's great to be able to be with you.
Yeah, it's been a great project. John, thank you for your help in that. And Pastor Royce, thank you for giving us a great wrap-up to the good project.
Absolutely.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, listeners, we're going to take a break right now. When we'll be right back, we'll be talking to several people in the community and bringing you up to date on things that you will want to know. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Mazur for Strong Tower Radio, Ron Price, and Pastor Royce Naaman.
Hi, folks. Jelaine Fenner here. I just want to thank you for listening to Strong Tower Radio. We value all your prayers and financial support, especially our monthly donors. To stay on the air and continue to proclaim the Three Angels' messages, we need more monthly donors. Any amount is greatly appreciated, $5, $10, $25, $50, and of course, we'd even appreciate a larger donation. You know Jesus is coming back soon. Many people are learning about his return. Please pray and ask God what kind of commitment you can do for Strong Tower Radio. And if you are already a monthly donor, won't you consider increasing your donation? You can call us at 231-468-2087. Or mail a donation to P.O. Box 567, Cadillac, Michigan, 49601, or go online to str.fm and click that donate button. Thank you for your support of Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio today. I'm your host, Tom Mazur, and I have Nancy Predwujewski. Nancy, so good to have you back.
It's great to be here.
You know, Nancy, we've done several programs here on Strong Tower Radio.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing programs even before the Irons Community Service Center, as we know it now, was built.
Yes, yeah. Well, you're one of the things that helped us to build it.
Well, God and Strong Tower
Amen.
Radio, all I did is give you airtime.
Right. That's all it takes, you know.
That's right.
Telephone, television, tell a woman.
Nancy, it's such a pleasure. You're a person that many people have retired, and you just keep on going. You're kind of like we're studying Joshua this quarter. And talk about a man. He goes to 110 years old. And
right.
And still is working on all eight cylinders.
Yeah, I don't know if I have all eight going, but I'm still going.
Well, we continue to add stations to our network, and it's always a pleasure to have you here, Nancy. You are representing the Irons Community Center, which is west of Cadillac, maybe even a little south, or you just due west from Cadillac?
Yeah, pretty much due
pretty
west.
Well due west. And it's sponsored by a community.
Right.
Truly a community, but a small congregation. How many people are in your congregation? And you like to point out how many of them are earning a living wage.
Well, there are 13 of us at the present moment, and we have two people that are young enough
that are in the workforce.
Who still work. Yeah.
And so these two people in the workforce and the other 11 who are sponsoring, your church is out, I call it the little church in the Wildwood.
It is.
It is literally the first time I ever went there. It's appears to be up against the National Forest,
it
and
is.
And you just see a couple houses down the road, and all of a sudden it opens up to this corner lot, and there's a beautiful white church.
Yep.
In the Wildwood.
A little one-room schoolhouse converted. Yes. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yep.
But what a wonderful, and the work that you're doing. Tell our listeners about the Community Service Center. It has a long history of service. Many of the Seventh-day Adventist churches have, once was called the Dorcas Society, eventually became the Community Service, Adventist Community Service Center, and you're one of those. And you just had a need. You kind of went through a low spot, and then you've come back up. Tell our listeners about that story.
Well, we've been serving the community since the 1940s with a clothing store, basically, that was free. And the building that we were in was built back in the 1800s and was falling down around us.
It served its purpose.
Oh, it did very well, yes. And so we decided to sell that and then start praying. And we had about $12,000 in the kitty. And we had a off-again, on-again church member who was a part-time realtor, offered us 4 acres for free. And
it's fairly close to the downtown area.
Oh, it's right in the downtown area, right on the edge of the main.
Although when we say downtown.
That's, yes.
So what is the population of the Irons? Just a rough idea.
Oh, of the town?
Yeah.
Probably about 300.
About 300?
Yeah, it's a
people,
real small.
Then it's houses and communities around.
Two bars and a, you know, a gas station is about it, really. You know, we've all, like all small towns, we've added a Dollar General.
Okay, all right. You're in the modern age now.
Yes.
But the thing is there's a lot of needs.
Oh, yeah.
What county is that?
Lake County.
Lake County.
We're the highest welfare county in the state of Michigan.
Highest welfare.
So we have a lot of people who are trapped by lack of income, basically.
So you've sold your building. You have a seed money of $12,000. Where do you go from? Where did you go from there? That was almost 12 years ago.
Oh yeah. Well, I made the mistake at a business meeting when people said, "Well, how are we ever going to do this?" And I said, "Oh, I've heard there's all kinds of money out there. I'll just learn to write grants." And that's exactly what happened. I took a class online, and we started raising money. And over the course of we found a builder who was willing to work with us as we had money, since we decided we weren't going into debt.
Well, that's the old-fashioned way.
It is the old-fashioned way, but and it leans heavily on faith.
More on faith.
Yeah.
Because you can go out and get a loan. If somebody will grant it to you, you can spend a whole lot of money.
Oh,
and where's the faith in that?
Yeah. Well, and this fellow was excited because he was already had known that he was leaving the home building, and he had bought a business from his uncle. So he was willing to work when we had money, and when we didn't, he worked at the business. And so we managed that for several years, and I just kept writing grants and earning money for the...
But they're just miracle after miracle.
Oh, yes.
It just... did you just step into the water and then it happened? I mean, literally people came out of the woodwork saying,
"Oh yes,
how can we help?
Yeah.
I've got this.
Yes.
Can you use that?"
Yes.
People with much organizations with much more finances would love to have people handing them money.
Exactly. Well, and you know, first of all, the whole project was started on faith. And so we continued that as we went. And God just provided. It was the fact that he found us a builder that didn't laugh when I went to them, you know, and told them what our rules were, that you can only work when we have money. And he was excited about it. And God kept him busy, and he helped us for 4 or 5 years. And just when he was to the point where he was completely out of home building and into the other business and couldn't help us anymore, we had a couple move in from South Carolina, and he was a recently retired general contractor. And
picked up the mantle, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I took one look at him, shook his hand, and say, boy, do we have designs for you. And he whipped pretty much our little church family into his crew, and we continued building. And I continued writing grants. And over the course of the 9 or 10 years that it took us to build that building, we raised the equivalent of over $300,000.
From a seed money of $12,000.
And $170,000 of that was from the local contractors, who some of them didn't charge us a penny, and others at very reduced prices.
I mean, and I was there while you were roughing in the plumbing, and he had completed it, and it was a work of art, literally a work of art.
I have had more people say that, with all his little red lines and blue lines to tell you whether it's hot or cold. Yeah, it's amazing.
And it was stop and go. But it always, even though it paused for a short time, another step, another person came by. Can you use this? And that happened multiple times. Oh. Give us some examples of what those were.
Well, we had the husband. The wife was a member of our church before she passed away. And he had promised her that if they ever did anything down there at that church, that he would help do the building of it. And he did the whole heating, cooling system, including the furnace and the air conditioner and everything, and didn't charge us a penny. We had people show up with furniture that we needed, because we decided, after we had started building, another church in the area, right there in town, had a clothing store. So when they came over to take a look and see what we were doing, and they were worried about the competition, because we don't charge people for the clothing.
They had a thrift store that there was a fundraiser for worthy causes.
Yes, they help in the community also, paying people's rent if needed and whatever.
So you said, we're not going to compete, and non-compete?
Non-compete. So I talked to the pastor and said, we got to figure out some other ministry for that room that we had planned into the architectural structure for the clothing store.
Give the size of, you have three different.
3,000 square feet.
So 1,000 for each?
Yeah, pretty much. Probably the first two on the west side are a little bit bigger than the third. And it appeared to us that we had to trust God anyway. We had been so far. And eventually we decided to start a youth program, which now, you know, we've been up and going for 2 years, is just getting started right now. And the middle room is huge.
And the reason for the youth program is because it's a poor county with a lot of economic needs, and the youth need activities to do.
And we're 30 miles from anywhere, and their parents have not the money or the time to be taking them off to the show or something. So we need to provide some things for them right here, which looks like that's going to happen. And so that took care of that. And so the other church still loves us.
All right.
And you know, I take clothing over there all the time, because I know they're doing the same thing with their finances as we are.
And it's just amazing. 2 years ago, you opened the door, you had a nice dedication, And tell us what's been happening over the last 2 years.
Well, trying to decide what kind of people we want to attract as far as practitioners, people that can teach classes, you know, do things there to attract the local people. And I think we're still in the experimental stages of that. And we have found out that we are appealing to widely different groups of people. So you can't just have a class in an afternoon and expect people that are working to be there. So we have to duplicate pretty much every class we have.
Okay, daytime as well as evening classes.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And they're all being well attended. That's the other exciting thing, is that the community, it's happening just the way we wanted it to. We'd have the community own the place, you know, even though we're financing it. And I don't even know how we're doing that, but we are, you know. The rent, or not the rent, the heat and the light has to be paid.
Right.
You know, and the people are coming and enjoying the place. And we've had such a variety of classes. I don't know if I put those on here.
You've got some parenting classes?
Oh, those are just the planned. Those are okay. In the planning. But also, these are the things that people have asked for, basically. They want to know more about raising healthy babies, you know, and not maybe eating all the junk food and everything else. We have some people with special needs, children that were interested in even offering respite classes where we could take the kids off your hands for a while and give you a chance to just sit down and relax with a cup of tea. We have several people that are taking care of their parents there in their old age. And they also need respite, you know, and time to be away from that. The sheriff has come in and done gun safety classes, food prep classes. We lost our gal from Michigan State because their money got cut. So we're just depending on people that have been in the kitchen a long time, like me.
Okay.
are doing food prep classes and things like that. So I don't see any end to the things that we can offer. And we've got 5 artists now that we're able to have. Every other month we have a class in drawing and art, and they're all very different, you know. So all of the classes we've had, we even had a class for people just heading into old age to understand their medical health insurances and things like that. So we've had you know, people that are selling insurances to come and talk and give people a variety of what's out there to meet their needs. So I just don't see any way that we're going to run out of stuff to do in that building.
All right. Now, one thing that you didn't expect to do is the adult education to get your GED certificates or high school.
Oh, that is a biggie. When Lake County Adult Ed, it's a Lake Mason County program, approached us to be a site for the GED or the high school diploma classes, I jumped on that immediately. In fact, I jumped on it before I said yes to the, or got the pastor's yes. And he was quite fine with it. And so we're open Tuesday and Thursday mornings from 9 till 12. And right now we don't have any clients, but I'm not worried about that. We will soon.
And you're happy that you've had 2 adult students graduate this past year?
Yes. One young mother, she has a 19-year-old that was the reason why she ended her 8th grade year. And now she's married and has three little ones. And she was so excited about the fact that, and all the five so far that we have in the program or have come into and moved, some of them moved, have all wanted their full high school diploma.
They didn't want to take the shortcut or just the test. They wanted to learn.
Yep. And so we have a program that they can use, and we supply them with a laptop for the duration of their time with us, so they can work from home. But if they need a quiet place, we're there two mornings a week. And when Holly graduated, and they have, because there are other sites, there's one in Baldwin, and Ludington, and another one in Scottville, and us. And so between them, we had about 50 people who got their GED or their diplomas. And I was just so tickled pink to see those two kids, because both of the boy and the mother both went for their high school diplomas. And she was making the trek to Baldwin for 3 years.
How many miles is that?
About 30.
30 each way?
Yeah. And so when we opened up, she was just really tickled pink. So anyway, about a month ago, she called me. And she said, "Miss Nancy, you got to help me." And I said, "Why? What's up?" You know, and she said, "Well, I've decided I want to go on and get my college degree now." And I tell you, I got off that phone and I'm sitting there crying, and Joe's saying, "What's the matter? Somebody die?" And I said, "No, these are happy tears." And she said, "I want to be a teacher just like you." And I thought, wow, it's all worth it just for that one comment.
Absolutely.
And so she's right now working on funding. Because she's definitely part of the welfare crowd that thought it was, talk about hopeless, you know, and yet we were able to give her that extra boost, and she's on her way. So no matter how many more years God gives me to work in this program, Holly's story is the best, you know, for me right now. It keeps me going.
Absolutely. What about the prospects for the future? What's happening?
Well, the future, I think, looks good with the way the community has absorbed us. You know, even while we were still building, they kept asking, when are we going to have our building then? When is
our building?
Our building.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, great, this is working. This is exactly what we wanted. So, you know, scheduling classes and earning money to keep that building going is tops in my priority. And with the addition of, we have another tutor who's come aboard and is willing to be working. So we're looking for more students right now. So they need to call my number. It's on the sign out in front of the building. So,
and for our listeners,
my name's Nancy, and my number is 231-920-3763. 231-920-3763. And, we'll set you up with an appointment and, get your transcripts if you had high school, some high school, some of them did. Ronnie did have some high school. He was the other fellow that graduated. Haley's been at it for 4 or 5 years.
Praise the Lord.
And still raising babies. And, you know, it's much harder. They told me when I decided to become a tutor that this is one classroom where you won't have any discipline problems. The biggest problem for me is to help slow them down a little bit because they're so eager once they get moving. And depending on how much they have to do, you know, and they've got a lot of other things going in their lives.
Well, Nancy, you've got the tutoring program. Just give me an idea. We have about 30 seconds left. What other things are going on at the center?
We also rent it for graduation parties and showers and things like that. And now that we're starting the teen program, we're going to need help. A group of senior citizens whose average age is about 79 or 80 need youthful
yes.
parents to come and help us with the youth program for sure. We know there's a need there. It's been nicely outfitted. We've got ping pong table and dart boards and a nice little gathering area with a beautiful set of leather furniture that was donated. And have some ideas for, you know, outside, sending these kids out into the community. Once we supply an entertainment place and a place for them to relax with their counterparts, they need to be out in the community helping wash windows. And we've got a lot of senior citizens that retire up here.
Very good.
And need help.
Well, Nancy, it's so good to hear that the Irons Community Service Center is up and running, doing the adult education program and having other things going. Again, Nancy's number is 231-920-3763 if you have any questions, or maybe another center would like to learn from your experience. Nancy's always willing to help. Thank you so much for being part of Strong Tower Radio today, again this month.
Thank you very much for having me on. I don't mind bragging about that building.
All right. We'll be right back for our final segment on Strong Tower Radio today.
Hello, friends. JB here. Won't you help us as Strong Tower Radio spread the news about God's true character, about his love and concern for the human race, about the free gift of salvation that Jesus offers? If you'd like to help spread the word through Strong Tower Radio, why not go to our secure website, that's www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button. There you'll find all the information you need to become a regular monthly giver or weekly giver to the cause of Jesus. If you're not an internet person, you can always call us at 231-468-2087 and just tell them that you want to help support God's cause through Strong Tower Radio. Thank you for listening to, praying for, and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is changing lives one listener at a time.
Hi, folks. Welcome back. This is Strong Tower Radio. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and Tom Majeure is here. And Tom, we are talking about homelessness.
That's right. It just doesn't seem to go away.
No, and it's, I mean, all over the country, but even here in our little northern Michigan.
In rural America.
Yes, and it can be very hard in the winter. And in the studio with us is Julie Newman. She is the founder and CEO of Harvest of Kindness Incorporated.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Okay, and so we're going to talk to Julie a little bit. You have a thrift store. And tell us, what's the name of the thrift store and where is it located?
It's Lake City Thrift. It's at 1964 South Maury Road, Lake City, right next to Chuck's Shop and Save.
So for those of you that are maybe not from Lake City or the Cadillac area, Lake City, Michigan, and it's actually, when I finally figured it out, it's on the corner of M66 in Jennings.
That's right.
There used to be an old plaza there.
Yeah, so it's a nice large plaza there, and when it's the first stoplight south of downtown Lake City.
Yeah. And so, okay, so Julie, you have this thrift store, Lake City Thrift.
Yes.
But then you have this business. Well, I don't know, is it a business? Your Harvest of Kindness Incorporated.
It's a nonprofit.
Okay. So how did you get interested? And I mean, we all should take some kind of an interest in homelessness. But you personally, for some reason, it really affects you?
Yeah, because I was homeless before myself. 30 years ago.
Okay. But you understand.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of us that have not been homeless.
What was the experience? How did you feel?
Well, people treat you differently. People look at you differently. You feel different. You start to lose hope. Unless you got a grind in you, it's hard to come out of homelessness.
And there's different reasons, Tom. We've known, because of dealing with veterans, there are different reasons why people are homeless. It's not just they're like drunks on the street.
No. I have a gentleman right now who had a stroke, and he went into rehabilitation for a stroke. And when he came home, the landlord sold the house. And he came home to nothing.
Yeah. So there's, always some kind of circumstances.
So let's dig into that deeper. You're working with a number of homeless people. How many are you working with right at this moment?
Right now, probably 22 different groups or people.
So are those 22 individuals or their families, that subdivided so it's not 24 family units or 22 family units?
No, it's not 22 family units. I'm counting the children that are part of some of the groups that I have.
So you indicated the one individual. What are the other, if you were to list the reasons for homelessness, that might give our listeners a pretty good idea of what is a cause of?
Well, I have one lady that ended up homeless because she had surgery. And she didn't have any significant other to help her. She had two children, and she ended up going homeless because she got evicted because she couldn't pay her rent. There's other ones that they got behind.
Well, we're told that many Americans are just one paycheck away from...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Everybody is just one paycheck, unless... they're made of money.
And just to take this is that if you're working an hourly job and that business takes a downturn, they lay somebody off, that one or two paychecks is enough. They're right on the edge.
Yes. And winter is the worst time, and that's when people seem to lay off the fastest, is in the winter. And that's the worst time. That's the coldest time.
Well, and the other thing, in our area, we don't have affordable housing. I'm a realtor by trade. And so there's a shortage of rentals anyways, but or even buying housing. Houses, things have skyrocketed in just the last couple of years.
Oh, yes.
So that is helping to contribute, Tom, to the homeless problem.
Some people are just plain priced out of the market. They cannot afford the rent.
Yeah. And even if you do have money to pay rent, there's no rentals available maybe. It's a vicious cycle.
Well,
Catch 22.
You've done rental properties, property management for various people, and I've heard those phone calls. No, we don't have anything. No, we don't have anything right now. That's almost the standard answer.
Right. So, Julie, these people that you're working with, how did they find you? How did they connect with you?
I go out in the woods and I find them.
Okay.
Talk about seeking the lost.
Well, and I don't know how, listeners, if you realize this, but in our area there's a lot of national and state land, and there are people that are living out on the land.
Yes, and they try to stay as hidden as possible because they get ran off an awful lot.
Well, because I my understanding regarding camping, you supposedly can camp free on state land or federal land maybe for about 2 weeks, but then you have to move.
Yes.
And so that's what the homeless are trying to
talk about transient. If you have to move every 2 weeks,
and a lot of them don't have transportation.
yeah
So that's where we step in.
Okay, so then tell us about the Lake City Thrift Store, because that's one thing that's helped you a little bit, right?
Yes. My store, everything after overhead goes back into my nonprofit, Harvest of Kindness. And then I help whatever way I can, be it, I even went to the hospital with one of my homeless people, and because they wouldn't do surgery without somebody there. So I went to the hospital and stayed there with her while she had surgery, and it was she had to stay for a couple hours, and then she was released, and I didn't want her to go back to a tent. Nice. Not after just having surgery. So I got her a week at a hotel just to give her a helping hand.
Oh, that was nice.
And yes. That's what, there's quite a few homeless out there that need to have medical procedures done, and they just put it off because
you can't go to the, I just know this because I'm having a little outpatient surgery, and you cannot come to the, you can't have anybody even drop you off. Somebody has to be there the whole time you are there.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about the name Harvest to Kindness? Explain, there must be a reason behind that.
I woke up with that name in my head.
Okay. And what does it mean to you?
It means harvest kindness to others. That's a big thing. My dad always told me, if you love like Jesus, you never have to worry about doing the right thing. So there's where the harvest of kindness. And I think that came from him because I lost him. So I think part of that was from him.
So, okay, well, the thrift store, people can make donations. I mean, that's usually a thrift store. You know, you're cleaning out your closet, you're cleaning out your knickknacks or whatever. And so you do take donations, physical donations.
Yes.
Like that, right?
Yes, I do. Okay. I take donations not only just for the thrift store, but like if people have warm sleeping bags, things that they know that the homeless could use, they can bring them in. I have a room for them. But I also let, I don't just give the homeless scraps. I let them come into my store and they can pick out whatever they want. It's not fair because they're homeless that they don't get to pick what they choose. Mm. So I make sure they can come in and pick out the clothes they want.
Okay. So your thrift store, is that the main reason kind of why you have the thrift store, is to help the harvest of kindness?
Yes, that is. I was first doing it just out of my thrift store, but then realized I have to do much more. So I had to go nonprofit.
Okay. So, yeah, it's Harvest of Kindness Incorporated, nonprofit. So anybody could maybe make even a cash donation to you, or maybe like giving blankets, and you can give them a receipt.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I have paperwork for them. All I do is give them a receipt. And
okay. All right. So what's the best way for people to contact you, Julie?
They can call me at my store. My number is 231-839-0872.
Repeat that, please.
231-839-0872. It's Lake City Thrift.
Okay, but they can always come into the store.
Yes, they can.
Okay. And I'm assuming you would take cash donations.
I take cash donations, yes.
Okay. Now, what about, okay, your thrift store, so you carry, you know, clothes, and what about food?
I have a food pantry in my thrift store.
Is that for your customers, or is that for
That's for
homeless?
Anybody that's in need. Anybody that needs in need. I have, and my store is not just for the people that are homeless. It's for anybody in need. Times are hard right now. Mm-hmm. And if everybody helps everybody, it might be a little bit easier.
Well, and I find, you know, I mean, there's, you know, the Salvation Army, Goodwill. I mean, most people know about them. It's, you know, you're looking for something. And you go to the store to buy, it's brand new. Man, you're paying a lot of money. You go to the thrift store, you can pick up some really nice stuff at a very reasonable prices.
Yes, and I try to keep my prices down. I think for a pair of jeans that would set $109, I had $29.99 on them.
Wow, yeah.
They were brand new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Julie, I'm not sure how many homeless people might be listening to us, but if they are, or a lot of us might know somebody who's homeless, what should they do? What should we tell them, or these people that might be listening, they want to contact you? I mean,
if they want to contact me, they can call me at my store. My hours are Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and they can call me at 231 239-0872, or they can come on in. Oh. It's at 1964 South Maury Road, right next to Chuck's Shop and Save.
Okay, so for listeners that are thinking, you know, are feeling maybe they should do more, what is something that listeners could do to help homeless?
Probably, if they're out there and trying to help them, I don't give homeless money. I give them supplies. I give them guidance, stuff like that. They can come in and they can bring donations in. They can come shop, because everything from my store goes back into the community after overhead. They can give cash donations. They can give tents, sleeping bags, stuff like that. They can donate to help. Hats, gloves, boots.
Okay. And so you have a website people can contact
Yes, I do. It is Harvest the Kindness Michigan, well, MI.org. So Harvest the Kindness MI.org.
Okay. And there's contact information on there or an email?
Yes, there's everything on there. I on my website, I also have my Cash App and my PayPal.
Okay. Good. Make donations. You hear that, folks? And this time of year, I mean, lots of people are making donations. Okay. Now, my understanding, too, though, is that you'd like to own some land where you can help these people.
Correct.
And have, like, I mean, now they have, like, these tiny homes, and they're setting little communities up. And so, folks, if anybody in our area, the greater Cadillac, Wexford, Maswaukee County area, if you have some land, you need to make a donation. You need to get a hold of Julie, because she is looking to raise some funds so that she could buy some land. But it's not just any land, because there will be zoning and there are laws. So again, Julie, give them a phone number to contact you.
231-839-0872.
And the website?
It is harvestthekindnessmi.org.
Okay. So folks, be kind. That's the whole idea. And help people, and let's not judge people, because we never know circumstances.
That's right.
So thank you, Julie, for your heart and wanting to help these people, and may God continue to bless you in this endeavor.
Thank you.
This is Ruthie Calkins from Tustin. The Bible tells us that heaven will be the dwelling place of God's friends. That's why I'm so excited about supporting Strong Tower Radio. Their unique blend of thought-provoking speakers, stirring inspirational messages, and heartwarming music reaches into the lives and hearts of each listener, helping them to develop and cherish a friendship with God. If this radio station has been a blessing to you and your family, why not join me and hundreds of others in supporting Strong Tower Radio with a financial gift? They're 100% listener supported and could really use your help right now. You can send your check to Strong Tower Radio, Post Office Box 567, Cadillac, Michigan 49601. Or you can visit their secure website to use your credit card at strongtowerradio.org. Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.